Canto 8, Chapter 9. The Lord appears as a beautiful woman to distribute the nectar. Sri Shuka said, while the Asuras were snatching away the nectar and threw it towards each other, they thus behaving like thieves became very inimical. Then they saw the Lord in the form of a woman called Mohini Murti coming their way. What a figure, what a grace and youthfulness, so they said, hasting to get her attention while their hearts were aching to sleep with her. Who are you with your lotus petal eyes? Where do you come from and why did you come here? To whom do you belong, O you, who with your beautiful thighs upset our minds? Please tell us. Neither we, nor any immortal soul, demon, perfected soul, creature of heaven, venerable soul, or any ruler of the universe, has seen you before or ever touched you, not to mention any normal human being. Oh, may Providence be praised for sending you with your beautiful eyebrows. Is your mercy not there to bring that what pleases the senses and mind of all who are of flesh and blood? O smashing lady, are you maybe there as our fortune to settle the mounting differences between us family members who are increasingly inimical with each other over this one issue of the nectar, O you slim beauty? Can you please see to it that the nectar justly, without any partiality, is divided among us able and competent brothers who are the descendants of Kashyapa? Looking at them with a smile and enchanting glances, the illusion of feminine beauty which was an incarnation of the Lord, thus being requested, spoke the following words to the Daityas. The Supreme Lord said, how can it be that all of you, descendants of Kashyapa, have faith in associating with a woman like me who runs after men, for to be enamored with women is something one never finds with men of wisdom? O enemies of the Suras, the sages agree that jackals and unchaste women, who are fickle in their relationships, always look for a new, fresh mate. Sri Shuka said, thus having fun with them, the Asuras laughing, all felt comforted by her, and with a serious expression on their face, handed over the jar of nectar. When the Lord took hold of the Amrit container, he with a sweet smile spoke the words, if you promise to accept me whether I act honestly or not, I will divide this nectar. Having heard what she said, the chiefs of the Asuras, without giving it further thought, assented and said, so be it. They observed a fast, bathed, offered oblations of ghee into the fire, were of charity for the cows, the Brahmins and many others, performed ceremonies according to the Brahminical precepts, dressed up to their taste in new clothes, put on jewelry, and next together sat down on seats of kusha grass laid down towards the east. As the Suras and Daityas, all with their faces also turned eastward, dressed up with garlands, were sitting down with lamps in an arena full of incense smoke, she entered there, holding the container or ruler of men. With her youthful, restless eyes, the sounds of her tinkling ankle bells and her jug-like breasts striding slowly, she wore a beautiful sari around her white hips and elephant trunk-like thighs. Looking at her, the Lord Supreme, who with golden earrings, charming ears, nose, cheeks, and face posed as a girlfriend of the goddess, they were all enchanted by the way she with a smile glanced at them while her sari was slightly waving over her breasts. Considering it a miscalculation to give the nectar to the demons who are as cruel as snakes, the infallible one did not deliver it to them. Arranging a different line for every group separately, the master of the universe let each of them orderly occupy a position at his own side. Carrying the container, she deceived the Daityas with sweet words and made those sitting at a distance opposite of them, the Suras, drink from the nectar that would free them from old age, death, and this ability. The Asuras, considering it an abomination to fight with a woman because of their feelings for her, according to their promise, kept themselves in check, O king, and remained silent. Fearful of breaking the bond of friendship with her, they, moved by the greatest respect, all felt obliged and said not the slightest thing that would displease her. He who darkens the luminaries, Rahu, dressed himself up like one of the demigods and sat among them to drink from the nectar, but he was, by sun and moon, quickly detected. The moment Rahu drank from the nectar, his head was cut off by the razor-sharp chakra of the Lord. The decapitated body, that had not been reached by the nectar, fell dead to the ground. The head, however, attained immortality, and was by Lord Brahma recognized as a planet. It is that very Rahu that at times inimically chases away the light of the sun and the moon. When the godly souls had almost finished drinking the nectar, the Supreme Lord Hari, the well-wisher of all the worlds, revealed his original form once more in the presence of all the Asuras and their leaders. Although the Suras and Asuras all shared the same place, time, objective, cause, activities and ambition, they did not achieve the same result. The God-minded souls easily achieved the nectar because the benediction of the saffron dust of the lotus feet was theirs, but not so the Daityas. Whatever one does for the sake of one's own life and welfare are human activities, ideas and words in relation to one's body and family that are all transient. Together they constitute one's separateness. But the same becomes something factual and permanent when it is not done in separation, when one not fails to be of devotion unto him. For then they result in what one calls the watering of the root, the engagement in that what is beneficial to everyone.